Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Find your Bible, please. It's Ephesians 6. I'm going to read right down there at the bottom of that chapter, last couple of verses, starting about verse 21. Ephesians chapter 6, need you to find that last section there. I do need to advise you this. This evening, I do wish, Lord willing, to talk about a tremendous problem in our society that is affecting the people of God. And that's the temptation to sin with pornography. I am going to talk this evening about pornography, about some specifics about that. Now, I want you to know that lesson's not going to be crude or vulgar or coarse in any sort of fashion. Not going to be embarrassed by that. But this is a tremendous issue in our world today. It's an issue with our young men. It's an issue in our marriages. It's causing tremendous difficulties. That temptation is so prevalent and so easily available. And the devil's not hesitant to talk about it, is he? We as the people of God need to talk about that, Lord willing, and we'll talk with you about that this evening, and I hope that you'll be ready for that. In Ephesians 6, then, that's where I am right now. How about we read these last couple of verses, verse 21 starting, Ephesians 6, 21. So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tertius, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love incorruptible. Maybe you could remember for a moment back in your past a little bit, some of those times when you were in school. Did you ever have that experience where you tried out for the team and the coach posted the cut list on the bulletin board? As soon as I say that, some of you are exulting. You're remembering, tremendous feeling, working so hard, trying so hard, you weren't sure. You ran your finger down that list, and there your name, you made the team. What a great feeling. And some of you are cringing. Maybe you remember trying really hard, and you worked really hard, and you did your best, and then you ran your finger down that list, and you didn't make the team. We want to be on the team. We want to be a part. It's just a tremendous feeling when you put on that jersey or you get on the bus with the band to go to contest or go wherever we're going. You make the all-district choir, whatever it is. We want to make it. We want to be a part. We want to be on the team. We want to be in. Those are painful feelings if we somehow felt excluded. That's why I want to ask you this morning, are you on the team here? Are you part of the Westside family? Family seems like a lot better metaphor for a congregation than team. Now, I don't want anybody to panic. We're not going to post a cut list, okay? You don't have to worry, oh, I didn't make it. No, we're not going to cut anybody. In fact, we want everybody to be part of the family. But maybe one of the questions that comes from that is, do you feel like you're part of the family? That can be a little more complicated sometimes. Sometimes I wish it was as easy as posting a list on the bulletin board, handing you a directory, telling you here's your spot in a pew, and here's your jersey, wear this to church. Then everybody would know, I'm in, and I know that I'm in, and I know where I fit. It isn't that simple, is it? It can be more complicated than that. The reason I read these verses at the end of Ephesians 6 is to show you that Paul valued a feeling, a relationship of togetherness. I want Tychicus to tell you everything. And I salute you, and I say hello to you. In fact, in all of Paul's letters at the end, there's always some personal notes. Say hi to Philogian, and say hello to this person, and greet this person. And sometimes when we read that, we think, now why is that in there? Why is that part of inspired Scripture? These are very personal notes that we just read. They're there because they say it's important to be part of the church family. It matters to be part of the church family. So this morning, I need to focus with you on exactly that idea. How can you be a part of the Westside family? This is a relationship that we want to share with everyone, and I want to say that again. Everyone. We are God's family. We are a place where everyone belongs and fits in, even though we are very diverse and very different people coming from all kinds of different backgrounds. We all belong here. And we all fit in here. And we all care for each other here because we are God's family. You feel that way? Now, I'm not asking if your name's in the directory. I'm asking if you're part of the family. When you ask that question, that begins to break people into kind of two groups. We do have people here who are old-timers. Now, maybe I should say long-timers. Is that kinder? You've just been here forever. We've got some folks here. Maybe they weren't born here. I don't think we've ever had anybody born in the foyer. But Mama wrapped you up about 2 or 3 days after you were born. And the first place you ever went was to church. And you came to Westside. And you've always been here. And it seems like you've always been here. Which means that when the preacher gets up and says, hey, let's talk about how to be a part of the Westside family, you're thinking, why are we even talking about this? I'm a part. But you know, we have some newcomers too. People who in the last couple of years, or maybe even the last couple of months, have chosen to pitch their spiritual lot with us, to say they're going to work and worship here and be a part here. Are they feeling a part? Let me ask you, long-termers, what are you doing to help the newcomers feel part of the family? And let me ask you, newcomers, what are you doing to be part of this family and to feel a part of the work that goes on? The last thing that we want here is an us and them mentality. Them over there, those long timers. Oh, them newcomers, look at them over there. We can't have that. We want to be one in Christ. We want to be unified as we serve the Lord together. And that necessitates that we all understand our togetherness as family. So this morning, I'm going to spend some time talking about that. And what I want to do is I just want to note some things that Paul says in his letters and how he works with that and what he has to say about some of that that will help us identify just what exactly we need to do to draw ourselves closer together as the family of God here. And I said something about Paul, but I'm actually going to begin the writings with Peter. Could you turn to 1 Peter, please? In 1 Peter, I'm going to read there in chapter 4 and verse 4. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 4, Peter says there, as he urges these Christians to live right and do what's right, even despite persecution and difficulties, he says in 1 Peter 4, 4, with respect to this, the Gentiles, those are not, the non-Christians here, 1 Peter 4, 4, they are surprised that you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery and they malign you. I'm going to use this passage and several others with it to make certain that we understand there is a need to be family and to belong. Peter addresses here the concept that we do not fit in the world. It's always awkward, and we're always out of step, and we don't value what they value, and we don't do what they do. As a result, they're a little surprised. What do you mean you don't? What do you mean you won't? What do you mean you can't? What are you talking about? And as a result, pretty quickly, surprise gives way, verse 4, and they malign us. They start making fun of us because they don't get it. They don't understand it. They don't realize what Christianity is all about. But then, we come here. And there is acceptance. And there is encouragement. Because the people around you right now, they do get it. And I'm going to spend some time and talk about that. Because sometimes there's a thinking of, you know, I just show up and come here for church and I get the worship thing and then I go back out there. What is all this feel like family business? I don't think I need to feel like family. I get here, I worship, I go home. Who cares if anybody knows who you are? Peter cared. And Paul cared that we have relationship one with another. In Corinthians, please. In 1 Corinthians, here's Paul. In 1 Corinthians 16... In 1 Corinthians 16, look at verse 5. In 1 Corinthians 16, 5, Paul says there, I will visit you, 1 Corinthians 16, 5, I will visit you after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter, so that you may help my journey, help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now just in passing. I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits. Can you hear some concern? Do I belong? Is there a place for me in Corinth? Things had gotten a little rocky between Paul and the Corinthian brethren. And he had written a tough letter to them to say that there were some changes that they needed to make and some things needed to be done differently. And now he has concern. Can I stay? Am I welcome? Do I fit in? I need you. Will you accept me? In fact, in verse 10, that extends even to Timothy. When Timothy comes, verse 10, See that you put him at ease among you. For he is doing the work of the Lord as I am, so let no one despise him, and help him on his way in peace, that he may return to me, for I'm expecting him with the brothers. What about Timothy? You going to let him fit in? Church shouldn't be a place where we have to wonder. But Paul wondered. And sometimes we wonder. Those of you who have been members here for a long time, I need you to think carefully. It's been a long time since you had that experience of being new. Maybe you were never really new. You just grew up here. But our newcomers are thinking that. Well, we just read Paul saying here in 1 Corinthians 16, our newcomers think that. Am I sitting in someone's pew? Where do I fit? What's your name? It's rough as a kid to be the new kid in school. It's really hard to play that when you're now an adult. Is there room for me here? Who's going to care for me? Galatians 6 talks about bearing burdens. Will somebody bear my burdens? Whose burdens could I bear? What's going on, and can I be part of what's happening here? What I want you to see is that is an essential area for every child of God. We don't fit out there. We must fit in here. But new Christians, new members, they're struggling with that. Do they like me? Do they want me? Can I stay here? Am I always going to be an outsider? Long timers, I'm asking you. What are you doing about that? How are you helping our new folks integrate in and be part of the family? Well, the way to do that, of course, is that we just need to be together. That's what Paul is pushing for here in Corinthians. I want, he says, to spend some time with you, verse 7. Building relationship comes when we spend some time and connect with people. And this, by the way, is not the only place Paul talks about that. In Romans chapter 15, let's plug that in. In Romans 15, there at the end of this epistle, Paul says in Romans 15 and verse 22, this is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. Romans 15, 23 now. But now since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come unto you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you, once I have enjoyed your company for a while. The way to connect with people is to be with people. To spend time with them. You can't feel part of one another until you have spent time with each other. And Paul didn't know those brethren in Rome like he wanted to. And so he wanted to connect with them. He wanted to enjoy their company. You can't be an insider when you're always on the outside. Now, someone's thinking, oh boy, here comes that part about we need to have each other over, and we need to eat together and so forth and so on. And you know, there's something to be said for that. Paul talks about hospitality. Look over in Romans 12. He talks about the importance of exercising the gift of hospitality. In Romans 12, that's verse 13. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. We need to take that seriously. Sometimes we have time for recreation with everybody and everything except to spend time with our brethren. Sometimes we invite the same folks over all the time. Sometimes we go to eat with the same people all the time. We need to think about that. But let's be honest. If you're talking about the Jerusalem church and 3,000 people were baptized, you think hospitality answered everything in their situation and answered all of their needs? We really imagine that everybody in the Jerusalem church was on a first-name basis and all their kids knew each other and played together and they were always in each other's homes. It doesn't work that way. You know better than that. And there are some challenges with hospitality for us, aren't there? There's the challenge of distance. Some of you live in Arlington, or even further south. And some of you live in Flower Mound or Louisville, or even further north. 50% of this congregation lives outside of Irving. So that means if we're having somebody over and we live in North Louisville and we invite somebody who lives in Arlington, that could be a 30 or 45 minute drive. In traffic, it could be even worse. So geography there presents some difficulties with all of that. And that's not even to mention the fact that our schedules today are pretty busy, aren't they? We're going here and we're going there. We got ball games and we've got schoolwork and I had to work late today and there's all kinds of stuff. And so leveraging in another appointment, another thing, I've got to have people in my home, that gets really complicated. Sometimes we almost have a nostalgic view about all of this. You know, when you're walking in the neighborhood, kind of like Mayberry, and I'll just be sitting out on my front porch drinking sweet tea, and you just come up on the porch and set a spell. What is that? You don't live in my neighborhood. I don't go walking in your neighborhood. If you come walking in my neighborhood, I won't be sitting on the front porch drinking sweet tea. I don't have a front porch. We live in a different world. We live in different times. So yes, we certainly want to do that hospitality thing all that we can. But that's not going to provide the togetherness that's going to bond us as a church. There's some barriers and some difficulties. And we'll have to be realistic about that. So we're going to need to see what else we can do so that we can be a family. Can I suggest Acts chapter 2? Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, here's 3,000 Christians. What are they doing that bonds them together? In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayers. These were believers from all over the world. They had come to Jerusalem. They become Christians. And what they did that made them a spiritual family is they worshiped God together. Sometimes we think the answer to this is to play. But Acts 2:42, in talking about people playing Catan or 42 or watching the Rangers lose again, bitter table for one. What it's talking about is people who came together to do spiritual things and to honor the Lord together. And I believe if we're going to be the kind of family that we want to be, we need to make a huge priority that we are together in worship. We need to make that a priority first and foremost because that's a command of God from Hebrews 10, chapter verse 25. But beyond even that, verse 42 is helping us see that that's the kind of thing that helps us come together as family. And in our busy schedule and all the diverse things that we're doing and all the different places that we live, we've all cleared off Sunday, we all cleared off Wednesday night, and we need to come together to worship and serve God. When we do that, some incredible things are going to happen amongst us. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. I referenced that a moment ago. Notice Hebrews 10, verse 25. And that command about worship is given that we need to come to the assembly. But there the Hebrew writer gives a reason for that, and that's verse 24. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, Hebrews 10, 24. Not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. God has so arranged His worship that not only does it have a vertical dimension in which it pleases Him, it has a horizontal dimension in which it draws us together. So I believe, one of the things that the Bible is teaching us is that worship has a bonding effect. It is a key encounter in which we serve the Lord and we become better acquainted with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're better equipped to know them and to serve them and to help them. The key to that, you got to come. You got to be here. And you need to be here every time. Every time. You will never, ever feel like a full member of the family if you don't come to all the family meetings. You can't. You won't. Things happen when we come together. A brother speaks powerfully at the table before we take the emblems. A brother leads us in prayer. And all of us, our hearts are just made to kneel before God. A sermon pulls us in a powerful way. The elders offer a word of admonition. Things happen when we come together that make us one. And then afterwards we're in the foyer and we're talking. And it's not shallow talk. And we're not talking about how much rain we've gotten. We're talking about what? Wow, that song we sang today, that really moved my heart. That passage, I'd never seen that passage in that way before. That really helped me. We are coming together as the people of God. If you're not here, you miss it. And what about opportunities? Hear the announcements? Here's someone we need to be praying about. You don't know about that if you're not here. Maybe there's an opportunity to serve. We're going to need some volunteers to do this or to do that, to bring some food, to set up some chairs, to make some copies, to go here, to go there. Can you sign up? Can you see Sister so-and-so? Can you see Brother so-and-so? You're not going to know about that because you're not here. When the family meets, you need to come to family meetings. And that includes our family meeting on Wednesday night. On Wednesday night, we're in Bible classes. That is awesome and grows us in the Lord. Then we all come in here and we talk about that Bible reading thing that we're all doing together. And it's one of the most remarkable and powerful moments of the entire week. Everybody pulls together and we pop open our Bibles and we look at this chapter and we talk a little bit about this chapter, and there's that understanding and that feeling of, wow, we're reading our Bibles together. And I didn't see that. Oh, did you see this? Look at this. Look at that. I'm helped by that. I'm applying that. I'm making that part of who I am. That is what brings us together. If I could say any one thing to an old timer who says, you know, I've been a member here a long time, I still don't feel like part of it. To a newcomer, I would say, come to church every time. There is something that happens when we see you three times a week, every time, with regularity, that will never happen otherwise. Togetherness comes when we worship God together. Now, when we're doing that, there's some things that we need to do to foster that kind of togetherness. And that begins with initiative. Can you find 2 Thessalonians in your Bible, please? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, as Paul writes to these brethren that he was so much concerned about and that he thought so very much of, notice his concern here in 2 Thessalonians 2, this is verse 1. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to Him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or by a spoken word, or, listen to this, by a letter that seems to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Paul's concerned about his relationship with Thessalonica. There was a false letter circulating, and he took steps to stop that. He didn't wait for them to send him an engraved invitation. He didn't hope things would improve on their own. He went to work on that. He started some things. He did some things to get this going. He took initiative. Are you listening, newcomers? Sometimes we identify, and then we sit in our pew, and we expect everybody's just going to come to us, and they're all going to flood to our doorstep and say, will you come to my house, and will you drink coffee with me, will you go to eat with me, will you do this with me, will you help me teach Bible class, will you serve me in this area, and so forth. And then maybe everybody doesn't come. Then what happens? We get mad. Oh, this church is not a friendly church. Okay, people ought to come. I get that. But you know what? The Thessalonians ought to ring Paul and said, hey, what about that false letter? Paul took initiative to do something about that circumstance. If you're new here, you need to take some initiative. You need to get out of your little zone, the little place where you sit, and shake some people's hands and meet some folks. Stand around in the foyer and invite some folks. Hey, we're going to go over here and eat. Will you go eat with me? Can I help you with this project? Are you involved in teaching class? Could you use a helper? Could I cut some stuff out for you? Do you do this? Can I be part of that? You need to show some initiative, particularly since what a lot of people are concerned about is, are you just visiting? I mean, I sit on this side of the building, and you sit on that side of the building, and I haven't seen your face a whole lot, and now you're talking to me, and I'm thinking, you're concerned that I don't know your name. And the reason you're concerned about that is because I don't know your name. And this is going to be awkward, and this is going to be embarrassing. So newcomers, you just stick your hand out, and you say, I'm new here, and my name is Mark Roberts. Don't say Mark Roberts, that's me. Do you kind of fit that in? Okay. So try to follow. So I'm new here. We identified 6 months ago. We identified 2 weeks ago. And, you know, I sit on the other side of the building. I don't know you. I want to get to know you better. As soon as you do that, see all the tensions. Oh, great, great. Now I'm not on the spot. I don't have to prove that I can't remember your name. Now we can talk. I know you're not a visitor. I know that you are a member. I want to get to know you better. Everything goes, take some initiative. Take some initiative. Okay, that's not just newcomers, though, is it? What about us long-termers? What are we doing after church? What we're doing after church is we're talking to the same people that we always talk to. People that we sit with. People that we know. Our family. People that we always sit around, people who share our interests, people who want to complain about the Rangers, we meet down front. All of the, we just talk to the same people all the time. And you know what we need to do long-termers? We need to stop doing that. We need to get out of that and go meet somebody else and stick out our hands and say, hey, do I know you? I'm Mark Roberts. I want to get to know you better. That's on us. We need to take some initiative. You seen that show Undercover Boss? Now, show Undercover Boss, the boss always thinks the company is perfect and that everybody loves working there and everybody's as happy as they possibly can be. Then they disguise the boss as a Joe Worker person and they put him in the fast food restaurant up front taking orders or on the line making widgets or doing whatever they're doing in this company, and now he's dressed up and nobody knows he's the boss. And guess what happens? He finds out what's really going on and what people really think about the company and all those procedures and policies that corporate sends down and so forth. He gets his eyes open. You know what us old-timers say about Westside? We're the friendliest church going. What if someone dressed up as a visitor and came to Westside? We didn't recognize them as their family and brother. They just stood there in the foyer. What would they tell us about what it's like to visit Westside for the first time as a visitor? What would they say Westside is like as a newcomer? Would they say, I stood in the foyer and watched everybody talk to their friends and family, but nobody ever came and talked to me? Nobody ever shook my hand? Nobody ever tried to bring me in? Is that what they would tell us? We think we're pretty friendly. Are we friendly? We're not friendly if all we do is get in our little holy huddles and talk to the people that we know and that we're comfortable with and that we're excited to see, and we don't ever show some initiative to go see somebody else and try to help them become part of the West Side family. Now, I need to remind you, church is not about social club. Church is not about building some sort of social club. And we should not judge the church on how many people shook our hands. But it is important that every member belong to the family and know that they fit here and that they're accepted here and that we'll pray for them and help them and encourage them. To do that, we're going to have to take some initiative. And secondly, in all that, we're going to need to do some serving. You're never going to feel a part of the family if you just shake hands a whole lot, talk to a lot of people. You're going to need to do things together. That's Acts 2:42. They're serving the Lord together. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul loved this church. This is probably his favorite congregation of all the churches. And yet in Philippians 4, some of that secret is revealed when he says, verse 14, it was kind, Philippians 4:14, of you to share my trouble. You Philippians know yourselves. You know that in the beginning of the gospel when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in the giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent help for my needs once and again. Paul appreciated and loved those Philippian brethren because they had worked together in the cause of Christ. They had supported him in the cause of Christ. They had served together. I remember growing up, the congregation I was a part of, small, I was a little boy, we met in rented facilities. That meant when we came to church on Sunday morning, the first thing we had to do was clean the place out from the pagan group that rented it on Saturday night to party. We swept out beer cans and cigarettes and tried to air the place out so we could have some sort of worship after all this paganism had broke out in there the night before. After a little while, we got a little money, and we decided to build a building. We decided to turn a cow pasture into a place to serve the Lord. And there wasn't money to pay someone to do that. You know who built that building? The brethren built that building with their own hands. And what I remember about that is that as the church grew, there are people who showed up on Sunday mornings every now and then, but we never ever saw them except occasionally on Sunday morning. But there were other brothers who showed up on Sunday morning and Sunday night, and you know what? They showed up on Monday night for work night. When we built that building with our very own hands. When we got done with that building, I'm surprised it passed inspection and that they gave us an occupancy certificate because there was a lot of crazy stuff in that building built by amateurs. But it was our building. We had served and worked and sweated and labored together. We were family. Am I saying that I wish we'd built this building with our own hands? No. You can't build this with amateurs. But I am saying that something happens when you serve together, like Paul and the Philippians did. And if you want to be part of this family, you'll have to find a place to serve. You newcomers, you got to find something that you can do. Can I help out in Bible class? Can I take part in the assembly? Can I be on the list to take food to shut-ins? Can I do this? Can I do that? What can I do? And us old-timers who've been here a little bit longer, you know what we need to do? We need to go get a newcomer and say, I'm doing this. Will you help me? Hey, I'm involved in that. Can you come be a part of this with me? Let me introduce you to this and how we do this here, what this is all about. You come go with me. Get someone and get them to come do it with you. Because when you serve together, you are bonded together. And I want to say, newcomers, you get an invitation. Someone says, hey, come with me. You need to take that invitation. Well, you know, that's not exactly what... Hey, stretch. Try. Do something different. But serve in the family of God. You come to church 3 times a week. You work and serve beside your brothers and sisters in Christ at Westside. It won't be any time, and you'll be part of the family. You'll feel like you're part of the family. And the reason you'll feel like you're part of the family is because you are. Because we're depending on you. We need you. And you help us. And we help you. That's what Paul experienced with the brethren. He helped. And that's what you want to experience too. Now I want to say again, we're not going to post a cut list here at Westside. We don't want to cut anybody. We want everyone to be in and to be a part. But to do that, everybody's got to work to make everyone a part. You think about your family. You want anybody in your family to wander off? Just disappear? What happened to... Where's brother? I don't know. He's just gone. And we don't want anyone in our spiritual family to just wander off, to be isolated, to be alone. We want every person to be part of this family and to know they're part of this family. That's what our elders want, because that's what the Lord wants.